Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of the business of being and doing on a Sunday. So much to get ready for the week ahead, I know. And so as we consciously come into community this morning, to continue on our theme of getting intimate with the infinite. Truly, the invitation is to join with me as we get more and more deeply into the heart of God. I loved the quote that I shared yesterday, for it truly speaks to what I am referenced to. As Julia Fenkbastra says now, more than ever, we must show up with our best selves. We must become or continue to be part of the healing rather than adding to the hurt. Everything truly depends on our digging beneath the layers of our small, fearful selves to the bigness that each and every one of us has inside. Everything depends on our resolve to stay in love. As many of you know, I do not call myself a Christian. I call myself a lover of Jesus. And I constantly remind people that it was very clear in what he told us to do. Love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls, to love our neighbors and ourselves. Sadly, for many of the organized Christian traditions, they seem to overlook the simple commandment that he gave us. Simple, and yet it is challenging. And it is one of the tenets, I think, if we are to get intimate with the infinite, it is how do we express more love? How do we remain in love? How can we see with the eyes of love? How do we listen with the ears of love? How do we open up our hearts to be more compassionate and express love? As you know, I called my ministry and charity, Love is Kindness. Because I know for some people, love is such a large word, a loaded word, a too complicated a word to try and express in an everyday way of being. But I recognize that if we are being kind, it is an expression of love. Kindness in what we say, kindness in what we do, kindness in how we're being, how we're acting, kindness in our thinking. If we are to enter more deeply and penetrate more directly into the heart of God, then we truly have to follow what our teacher, our Wesho, admonished, which was to love. Let's get straight into the sacred text as we elaborate further. I have several that I want to share that illustrates this. The first is John 13:34. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. 1 John 4:20-21. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And finally, Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I've started to read a book by Alan Seale entitled Create a World That Works. And it's all about becoming a transformational presence for good. He says that transformational presence is a way of showing up to life that inspires the best from the people and circumstances around you. And I've only just begun it, and I'm taking my time. And he obviously is of a similar philosophy and culture that we are all aligned with, that there is but one presence, one power, one life that animates in and through, that we co-create with. And so he examines how we can co-create more deeply with Spirit to be a transformational presence in this world. And I try not to use lingo or language that is too highfalutin. So when I say transformational presence, it's just how are we showing up as our best selves, as Julia invites us in that opening quote. How are we showing up as expressions of the divine? How are we demonstrating and living from that God-centered place which is required of each and every one of us? And so, my beloved, this morning's Sunday soul, as we look into how are we getting more deeper with the infinite, it is always looking and examining how are we relational. How are we showing up in relations to not only our nearest and dearest, but for those that we interact with, that we may meet on the morning commute, or in the queue at the post office, or in the supermarket, or those that maybe have cut us up as we're driving? It's all of these opportunities that we are given to see how we are expressing more of the divine. It is easy to be loving and caring and kind and generous to the people that we care and love about, but it's slightly more challenging to be the same for those we don't know, and especially for those that are sometimes represented or painted as the enemy or the foe or the person that's robbing you or cheating you of what you think or being told you deserve. There's a sort of magazine that I subscribe to on email, the Marginella, and she shares various quotes and stories from incredible authors and poets throughout time. And this week I read something from Mae Sarton, whose work I have shared often. And she says, this world is radiant with beauty. This world is also capable of bone-chilling brutality and the small corrosive daily cruelties that salt our days with sorrow. for a sensitive person to live with the duality, to keep the light aflame without turning away from the darkness. That needs illumination. Maybe the most difficult thing in life and the most rewarding. She offers this cure for this deadly indifference, a cure that honeys this 21st century soul with its poignancy and its potency. And she says, I am more and more convinced that in the life of civilizations, as in the lives of individuals, too much matter that cannot be digested, too much experience that has not been imagined and probed and understood, ends in total rejection of everything, ends in anonymity. The structures break down and there is nothing to hold on to. It is understandable that at such times religious fanatics arise and the fundamentalists rise in fury. Hatred rather than love dominates. How does one handle it? The greatest danger, as I see it in myself, is the danger of withdrawal into private worlds. We have to keep the channels in ourselves open to pain. And at the same time, it is essential that true joy be experienced, that the sunrise not leave us unmoved. For civilization depends on the true joys, all those that have nothing to do with money or affluence, nature, the arts, human love. Maybe that is why the pandas in London Zoo brought me back to poetry for the first time in 2 years. You see, I'm sure like many of us, Maysalton, we can feel a sense of overwhelm with all that's happening. We shut ourselves off from the news, try not to read too much on the media or on social media. We try to block it out, to focus on what does it look like, a world that works for all. And even then, trying to picture, imagine that becomes overwhelming. It was from that sense of overwhelm that sought me to find and search out what is out there that can support me in trying to hold the vision of a world that works, which is how I came across the book that I just spoke about. It is all too easy to think it's all too much and we can't do anything. But as I often advocate, there is always something we can do, whether it's just to offer a smile or say good morning. We're becoming a culture where giving eye contact, acknowledging one another, seems almost weird. And it never used to be like that, and we cannot allow it to become like that. Wherever we are in our own space, we can do our bit to bring back our humanity, to bring back just that simple greeting or smile, to show a connection. Every human being longs for connection. One of the things that people fail to understand that Darwin stated was that we are wired for connection. It is that human need, human being needs and craves the most. It isn't about the survival of the strongest or the fittest that's the most important. It is the fact that we are wired to be connected. And it's because we share the same spirit, that universal presence, that consciousness that is the absolute mystery, the divine intelligence in and through all of things. There's a part of us that feels more aligned, more alive, more resonating when it comes together with another kindred spirit. Even though we are not physically gathered in a space, because we are conscious in our communion and connection to the Holy of Holies and to each other, we can feel the energy that is in this moment. My beloved, we are each here to express the bigness that is within us, in each and every one of us. It's not in some of us, it's in all of us. Yes, we all have situations and challenges to face, physical or mental, financial or emotional, spiritual or whatever. We all face them. No one is exempt. There is no dispensation for any of us. I, like you, have to face and get through the things that I have to deal with. But what I am consciously aware of, that as I deal with this, I'm not alone. I am one with the infinite, unchanging, unchangeable presence that is right where I am. Whether it's a healing issue, a financial issue, an emotional issue, there is nothing, nothing that I cannot put before God and allow the presence, the power, the spirit, the divine intelligence to illuminate me as to what I should do. My story this morning is a short one. And it says, my family lives a few doors down from a lady called Alice, who since we moved in 3 years ago has appeared a bit standoffish. She seemed quite well-to-do, and let's just say I thought she might not be well-disposed to refugees. For that reason, when my 12-year-old daughter Eva said she'd like to ask our neighbors if they had any coats they'd donate to care for Calais, I said, of course, but just be careful with Alice. If she says no, maybe don't push the point. Eva is quite passionate on the subject, and I didn't want her, or indeed Alice, to get hurt. About an hour after setting out, Eva came back with a big armful of coats. Where are they from, I asked. All from Alice, she said. Did you know her mom and dad were refugees? It turns out my supposedly standoffish neighbor's parents came over from Austria in the 1930s. Her father worked as a doctor here, her mother as a teacher. Alice, retired now, spent her working life as a translator. She was delighted to help and donated some coats that had belonged to her late husband. So like I said, between them and an outspoken, open-hearted kid, an older lady has taught me something. Don't ever underestimate the role that refugees have played in this country's history, or assume that we know what other people's feelings are. Making us mistrust each other is all part of how this government's propagandas work. Don't fall for it like I did. This week, as I went and volunteered at this new charity that I am quite struck with, the Felix Project, I was finally in the kitchens working and packing meals, etc. And at first I thought I would just do, twice a month. I still have my other one that I volunteer at. But at the end of the day, when the person who was organizing us thanked us for coming and volunteering our time, and she said, because of you, we have packed 3,100 meals. It stopped me in my tracks. I'd given up maybe 6.5-7 hours of my time traveling backwards and forwards to Poplar to help with others so that other people can have something to eat, whether that was over 3,000 people or half of them getting two meals. It humbled me and reminded me of our connection to one another. I was sharing this with a friend and said, I've changed my mind. I'm actually going to volunteer every week there. He said, why did you change your mind? I said, because the recognition that we can all do something to help another and make a difference in another's life, why wouldn't we do it? And it is this coming back to this whole getting intimate with the infinite. God is an intelligence, a spirit, a life force that isn't judging or condemning us. Those are human constructs when we talk about God's judgment. We're merely referring to our own wish that people could be judged and judged based on how we want to accuse them or feel that they deserve. The Bible is very clear when it says that God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust and the sun to shine on the good and the evil. Simply meaning that there is no judgment in God. And so there is no judgment in me if I'm to be intimate with God as to who I think deserves my time or my energy or where I should direct it or what I should be doing. I simply need to show up to help do my part in being a transformational presence in this world. My poem this morning is entitled Transformation by Deborah Ann Belka. We must be willing to give to God our heart before any transformation or morphing can take part. If we're to undergo a complete radical change, our thoughts and our ways, God will have to rearrange. To become a new creation isn't something up to us, but by the power of God as in Him, we learn to trust. If we are not to be to the world conformed, we must allow our lives in Jesus to be transformed. A renewing of our minds is part of the progress. We must put on the new man and the old one suppress. We must be willing to make holy living official, lest to the world we appear shallow and superficial. It is, I believe, incumbent on every one of us. As Rebecca Solnit says, that every minute of every hour of every day we are making the world just as we are making ourselves. And that we might as well do it with generosity and kindness and style. Each and every one of us can do our part. Our Science of Mind reflection this morning is entitled A World That Works. The first quote is from Rundhyk Roy, excuse me. Another world is not only possible, she's on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. Second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Practical Application of the Science of Mind. The latent divinity within us stirs our imagination, and because of its insistent demands, impels and compels our growth. It is the back of every invention. It proclaims itself through every creative endeavor, and will, when permitted, create a new world in which war, poverty, sickness, and famine will have disappeared. The author writes, there is a consciousness rising from the new science and a new spirituality that proclaims itself through a new vision. This vision stems from the awareness of life embedded in a single field, a unified consciousness, the incarnation of spirit in matter and divinity in creation. The transcendent and the immanent is one. A wholeness that includes all. This oneness envisions a global family of beings and reclaims the sacredness of nature. Let us then permit ourselves to not only envision, but actively work towards the world that works, one in which humans live in harmony and interdependence, a world in which all people thrive in accordance with their own inner desires, cultural expressions, and spiritual awakenings. A world that is sustainable and healthy while providing challenges and opportunities for growth, art, creativity, and prosperity. A world that works and manifests a deep respect for the inherent value of nature. In this world, human ingenuity works with the resources of nature in ways that enhance thriving for all beings and the planet. This progress is inevitable, not the destructive progress of the modern age, but the ongoing push of life and its desires to express more life. As we deepen our embodiment of oneness, this new world that works is being birthed in consciousness and action, in many hearts and minds every day. Let us permit this vision to pull us into active engagement in its manifestation. I believe the author speaks to what all of us are requiring to birth a world that works for everyone, to do our part in bringing it about. And so as we enter into the sanctuary of the heart, I want to do a different meditation this morning. But as always, as we enter into this cave, this quiet closet that our teacher had told us that we were to enter into and close the door, and commune with the Father, the Mother, the Holy of Holies, who sees in secret and rewards us openly. Always the invitation first is to just settle the breath. And always I like to remind you of the words of Job. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take the next three deep breaths, then let us be cognizant that it is the breath of life that we are inhaling, and do so respectfully, lovingly, sincerely. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach. And breathing the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Hold. Inhale. Hold. Third and final time, inhale. Hold. I'd like you to allow the words that I'm about to share with you to truly resonate within you, to affirm, or just allow them to sink into consciousness. This is from Ernest Holmes. I know there is but one mind, which is the mind of God, in which all people live and move and have their being. I know there is a divine pattern for humanity, and within this pattern there is infinite harmony and peace, cooperation, unity, and mutual helpfulness. I know that the mind of humankind, being one with the mind of God, shall discover the method, the way and the means best fitted to permit the flow of divine love between individuals and nations. Thus harmony, peace, cooperation, unity, and mutual helpfulness are experienced by all. I know there will be a free interchange of ideas, of cultures, of spiritual concepts, of ethics, of educational systems, and scientific discoveries. For all good belongs to all alike. I know that because divine mind has created us all. We are bound together in one infinite and perfect unity. I know that all people and all nations will remain individual but unified for the common purpose of promoting peace, happiness, harmony, and prosperity. I know that deep within each person, the divine pattern of perfect peace is already implanted. I now declare that in each person and in leaders of thought everywhere, this divine pattern moves into action and form to the end that all nations and all people will live together in peace, harmony, and prosperity forever. And so it is. Now affirm, today I walk in the light of God's love. Today I am guided and my guidance is multiplied. I know exactly what to do, exactly how to do it. There is an inspiration within me that governs every act, every thought, in certainty, with conviction and peace. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is spirit, the energy, the presence, the power, the life force that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. God's life, God's love, God's healing, God's abundance is right where you are. Mother, Father, God, as we come into communion with you consciously this morning, we thank you for opening up our hearts and minds as we are conscious to become more intimate with the infinite, as we seek to deepen in our connection in your heart, as we seek to be more loving, more kind, more generous, more caring, more connected not only to you, source of all that is, but to all of creation. Let our hearts and minds be open to expressing oneness, to expressing love or kindness, to being a transformational presence in our world at this time, that is so in need. Let us not get overwhelmed with the darkness, the injustice, the unfairness, the cruelty that exists. But let us resolve to do our part to heal this world so it is a world that works for all. It is a world where it is just and fair and equitable. Our teacher Weishoa came into our world 2,000 plus years ago to demonstrate how to live, how to love, how to express from that bigness which is your life within us, and told us that we should do greater work than he did. So let us seek to do greater works. Let us seek always to be about doing your business. That business is to love and to be loving. Mother, Father, God, there is so much that is happening across our globe at this time. Too much to name or mention. But as always, I surrender it all to you, for you know the needs of every sentient being on this earth. You know the innermost desires, wants, requirements. And always I remember the words of the angel to Sarah, is there anything too hard for God to do? You who are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, we leave it all to you. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, we are ever grateful. So it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands to the sky and wiggle your fingers and affirm, I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I am loving, loved and lovable. Bring your hands together as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, and affirm, I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists, and affirm, I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for this morning's affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. I envision. And actively work. Toward a world that works.
Toward a world that works
for me and for all humans.
For me and for all humans.
For all beings and for all of nature.
For all beings and for all of nature.
Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them. And I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without. Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without. Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, do you think I know what I'm doing? That for one breath or a half a breath that I belong to myself? A benediction, I want to use this one and we will return to the Lord's Prayer for future ones. This is by Reverend Mercy Shamatta and I've adapted it. Mother, Father, God, as the dawn breaks on a new year, let us give thanks for all we hold dear, our health, our family, and our friends. Let us release our grudges, our anger, and our pain, for these are nothing but binding chains. Let us live each day in the most loving ways, the God-conscious way. Let us serve all who are in need, regardless of race, color, or creed. Let us keep God of our own understanding in our hearts and to chant God's name each day. Let us lead the world from darkness to light, from falsehood to truth, and from wrong to right. Let us remember that we are all one, embracing all, discriminating against none. May our year be filled with peace, prosperity, and love, and may your blessings shower upon us and bestow upon us each a bright and healthy and peaceful new year. So my closing song, my beloved, is definitely one of my favorites, and I've been longing to play it for you. It's by a host of stars, Jermaine Dupri, Neo, Jonata, Austin, Common, etc. And it's entitled Change. Enjoy.
Thank you.
My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy week. Look forward to joining you next Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.